Good morning, New York City. This is Sunday, January the 20th, and this is Tell It from Calvary, coming to you from Calvary Baptist Church, right here in the heart of Gotham, the Big Apple, the city that never, ever sleeps. I'm Dave Epstein, and for 21 years, I had the privilege of being the senior pastor here at Calvary. Just retired from this amazing ministry just a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago, at the end of 2018, and still be loving these people, praying for this ministry as it moves forward with power and the anointing of God. We're at 123 West 57th Street between 6th and 7th Avenues. We're right across the street from the Russian Tea Room and Carnegie Hall, and we'd love to have you come by, meet you personally, hear the Word of God, grow in your faith, or if you're a seeker, come by and hear the gospel, consider Christ and His claims, and embrace His grace as well. I'm in the studio with two great buddies. Mick Munoz across the glass, a Renaissance man, teaches Greek. He's won awards in the Manhattan Film Festival, and he is also the director of our communications ministry. Love this guy. And also a great friend, Dr. Michael Luciano is here.
Good morning, Pastor. Good to be here with you.
Good morning, Michael. Michael's our executive pastor, who's our youth pastor, not youth pastor, I should say, young adult pastor.
That's
for
right.
Many years. Now Michael is the primary person in the pulpit when I'm not here, and of course I'm retired now, and so you're going to hear Michael starting in March preaching a lot, and you're going to love this ministry. It's biblical, it's personal, it's practical, and Michael, we're looking forward to hearing you more and more.
I'm looking forward to it, Pastor, and once again, thank you for the opportunity to share the word here. It's a high privilege. I just love it.
We love you, brother, and your wonderful family. Share with them, the folks a little bit as they get to know you before they start hearing
sure.
you on the radio a lot.
Yeah.
Share with them a little bit why you love New York City so much and why you love to minister the gospel in New York City.
Well, technically I am a New Yorker.
Exactly.
Even though I'm on the outer boroughs, Staten Island is where I was born and raised. It's still New York. It's still New York out
there. Tell him, Michael, what you sometimes call Staten
Island. Well, I tell everyone I get to live on the exotic Isle of Staten.
The Isle of Staten. I love
it's,
that.
It's not a bad place to be from, I guess. But from a young age, I've just loved the city, loved the energy, but really loved the opportunities to reach all people. Nations,
yeah,
all different walks of life with the hope of the gospel. And the gospel message is applicable to every person, no matter who they are or where they're from. And I love that in New York, you get to do all of that.
Absolutely. In a day and age where we're more and more divided, not just nationally, but globally.
Yes.
On the basis of race, gender, all these things, nationality, politics, all of it, religion. It's wonderful in Jesus Christ and the gospel that God loves everybody. He's not prejudiced, right?
That's right. Yeah, God loves us all, and we all come before Him on the same terms as needy, broken, sinful people that need forgiveness and hope. And that wonderful unifying factor, I think, is one of the reasons why I love New York so much.
Oh, absolutely. We all need that grace. I was in the food store the other day, the shopping whatever they call it. I was in the market over there, and I was sharing the gospel with a young lady behind the cash register, and she said to me as I shared the grace of the gospel, she looked at me and she said, you know, I really need grace today.
Wow.
need grace today. And that's the gospel.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You love the diversity of Calvary, too, don't
you? Yeah, well, it's an awesome church, Pastor. Just to be, whenever I stand up front, even just praying or announcements, anything, and sharing the word, to see all people from around the world hearing the gospel.
Love
it's,
it.
It's
well.
Awesome.
I love it as well. Now let's get into this wonderful message from the Word of God. This is One of These Nights. And we see today Israel in the land after 2,000 years of diaspora. Because God keeps His... His promises. And when I see the Jewish people in their own homeland after 2,000 years of being scattered throughout the earth, losing their language for centuries, and I see them back in the land, it makes me wonder. The greatest proof beyond the resurrection itself that God is God is the survival of the Jewish people through whom came the Messiah. Fulfilled prophecy. That He promised the land, and then your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. Your family's going to grow unhindered. It's going to grow magnificently, and you're going to fill the earth. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. As Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, salvation is from the Jews. Jesus was a Jew. And behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. God promises his presence and his power to us as well. Amen. And I will bring you back to this land. I'll bring you home. And he did. And I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. He says, I will keep my word. I will keep my promises. I am a God of my word. They're pretty awesome promises, would you agree? We have those promises. Peter tells us we have these great and precious promises because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We have the promises. And notice Jacob's response to this amazing dream and revelation of God. Jacob would say, it made me wonder too, big time. Notice the response in verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not even know it. So he says to himself, the Lord is really here. And I didn't know it. I was ignorant of the fact that God was right here. And he acknowledges it. Another way to say it is, God found me. Amen? God found me in the dark. And he was afraid. He was afraid, yeah. He was overwhelmed by holy awe, as we sang so beautifully this morning. He said, how awesome is this place? You know, the presence of God will do that to you. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Wow. One awesome night. And notice, as he experienced the presence of God, the awesomeness of God, the holiness of God, the grace of God, notice he then makes his own promise to God. And he says in verse 20, he says, then Jacob made a vow and said, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come again to my father's house in peace. He says, if God will be this God that he says he is and he will keep his promises to me, then this Lord, this Yahweh, this one whose name means I am who I am, then he shall be my God. He shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a full tenth. You shall be my God, you shall have my life, and I'll give you a tenth of everything in honor of you and in worship of you. One of these nights, one of these nights. Now I want you to notice, God had found Jacob, just like God found me and God found you by his grace. Now, Jacob was going to find God in a powerful way. Amen? I want you to look over Genesis chapter 32. Now, Jacob is going to find God because you and I can't find God first. He has to find us first. And then we can spend the rest of our life finding him and knowing him. Amen? Notice in Genesis 32, verse 6, the context in which Jacob is now going to find God. Chapter 32, verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob, and they said, "We came to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you, and there are 400 men with him." Wow. 400 men with him. As an 18-year-old doing 2 months in prison, I got into it with a guy in the prison who had about 30 guys that were his posse. And I remember what happened when there was 30 guys and there was me. And it was scary. And now there's 400 to one. Can you imagine? Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people who were with him and the flocks and the herds, the camels, into two camps, thinking, if Esau comes to the one camp and attacks it, then the camp that is left will escape. Very good. Good leadership. Good leadership. And Jacob said, "O God of my father." Notice, the first thing he does, because what? God has found him. The first thing he does is he starts finding God. And he begins to pray for all he's worth. O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, return to your country, to your kindred, that I may do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you've shown to your servant. I'm not worthy, Lord. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me and the mothers with the children. Think of the horrific things going on in the world today. The horrific abuse of women and children. The terrorism, the genocides. Think of the families afraid for their lives. Think of the husbands and the brothers who are afraid for their sisters and their wives. Jacob understood that. He felt that. But you said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. I say this reverently. He prays to God, and he cashes in his chips. He cashes in the promises, amen? He cashes them in. He's thinking, if there was ever a time to cash them in, it's right now. Glory to God. Now, Genesis 32, look at verse 22. The same context. The same night, here we go again. He arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children. He crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and set them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. I love that. This was a real man whom God had found and who was now finding God. And the first thing he did is he protected his wives and he protected his children. Amen? And he stayed right there and by himself. Lord, give us more men like that. Amen? And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. So he stayed there alone, and he got into one intense wrestling match. I don't think he had any martial arts training either. He just got into it. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Got a sports injury, right? And then Jacob, then the man said, let me go, for the day has broken. The sun's coming up. Let me go. But Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. I love it. Jacob had stole the first blessing. He stole it from Esau. And now he was going to earn this one. He's going to have this blessing no matter what. Even if it cost him his life. He's going to have this blessing, the real deal, the genuine blessing. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and you have striven with men and you have prevailed. You have stood here faithful. You have cashed in your chips. You've drawn on the promises. You prayed your heart out. Now you're willing to give your life in this struggle as a new man who's seeing God and finding God. So I'm going to give you a new name. No longer the deceiver. But now, the one who struggles with God, seeks God, wrestles with God, and ultimately obeys God. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. And he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed Jacob. And he got the greatest blessing of all, the blessing of God. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. I have seen God. I have found God. I have wrestled with God. And I'm still here. It's a miracle, amen? It makes me wonder. It makes me marvel. I've seen God face to face. And then the sun rose. Thank God. Aren't you glad when the sun comes up? And the sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. And he was going to have that limp the rest of his life. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel don't even eat the sinew of the thigh that's on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. So the Jewish people recognized that even though he had a limp, and that was part of the price he paid, you might say, in that struggle with God, that became a holy moment. Amen? A holy moment. A new blessing, a new name, and a new life. And the sun comes up. Glory to God. So now he limps. It's the battle scars, amen? The battle scars and the blessing. Who knows what we're talking about here? The battle scars and the what? And the blessing. We have to limp if we've really, really known the blessing. There's going to be the marks. You know, it's interesting. Later, Jacob would reconcile with his brother Esau. Once God found him and he found God, there would be reconciliation. That takes power, does it not? Think of your own relationships. Family. Anger and division. In the workplace or in the church. That takes power to reconcile. Jacob would also one day find grace when his son Joseph would disappear, after his brother sold him into slavery in Egypt and brought the word to him that Jacob was gone, he was dead.
Think of the grace that Jacob had to have when he got that news. But you see, now he had found God. By grace, he could handle that. When Sandy and I lost our precious son, Josh, our oldest child, at the age of 39, tragically, God had found Sandy and I many years before. But now we had to find God. And I thought of, in that moment, the great promise of Jeremiah. For thus says the Lord, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. And you will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. And we found God in that moment. And in many, many moments to come, many, many nights to come, one of these nights. And you know, Jacob ends up in the hall of faith. Is that cool? He ends up in the hall of faith. The former deceiver, now the one who wrestles with God and finds God. He's in the hall of faith. The hall of fame of those who had faith. Amen? Look at Hebrews 11, verse 20, as we close today. Hebrews 11, verse 20. What a great passage. The whole passage is amazing, of course. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 20. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. So Isaac is also in the hall of faith. I love that. Why? Because he loved his sons. And he invoked blessings upon both his sons. God honors those who love their kids. Bless their kids. Sacrifice for their kids. Teach their kids. Amen? By faith, Jacob. Here's our Jacob right here. When dying, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph. He blessed his grandchildren. He loved them. He blessed them. And he bowed in worship over the head of his staff. He worshiped in the moment when God called him home. Because God had found him. And by grace, he had found God. And by faith, Joseph, Jacob's son, at the end of his life, he made mention of the exodus of the Israelites. And gave direction concerning his bones. And Joseph's there as well. The whole family's there. A family that began in turmoil with bitterness and hatred. Not finding God, not seeing God. And by grace, they're all in the Hall of Fame. Does that give anybody hope today? A little encouragement today? Jacob found his faith when God found him. And Jacob strengthened his faith when he found God. Trust him today. Trust Jesus today. Say, Lord Jesus, I trust you and you alone for life, for forgiveness, for hope. I trust you and you alone. By faith, I receive you and your promises. Because God finds you and then you find God. Trust him. One of these nights, in the name of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's people who know that many, many times God does his greatest work in the dark, said, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. We should sing. Amen.
We should sing. When I tell my congregation that, I mean everybody but me, because my heart is a joyful noise, but you don't want to hear me sing for sure. God bless you.